this idea of a bootstrap. You know, this idea and this metaphor of a bootstrap started off as a joke because it's a physical impossibility to lift yourself up by a bootstrap, by your shoelaces. It's physically impossible. The whole thing is a joke.
Some people think that she's not all that smart. And that's pretty generous, I think. She is, she makes Chris Cuomo look marginally semi-intelligent in two-digit IQ circles. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. We are, as you might expect, at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sobbing, apparently sobbing on the floor of the House of Representatives yesterday because the Jews might be allowed to defend themselves against radical Islamic jihadi organizations. Hamas and Hezbollah, funded by Iran, which is, of course, in turn funded by the Obama-Biden administration. Number one benefactors. Quite remarkable. But AOC yesterday, there was a vote on Iron Dome, the purely defensive system that is designed to shoot down missiles that are incoming at Israeli targets in Israel, coming from the Gaza and maybe South Lebanon, from Hezbollah, the party of Allah, the party of God, radical Islamic jihadis, Iran-backed. And today's Democrat Party, they're kind of torn. Gosh, I don't know. Am I on the side of Hamas and Hezbollah or on the side of Israel? And it turns out Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez very much on the side of radical Islamic jihadi terrorist groups, Hamas and Hezbollah. And the Jews, not so good, not on her good list. There's a naughty and nice list. And, you know, the Jews in Israel, they're not, she's not their friend. And apparently she doesn't like them. She is not a good person. And she's as dumb as a rock. She just thinks that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Wait a minute. Let me try that at home. Can you do that? Wait, it turns out it's physically impossible to pull yourself up, like off the ground. You like can levitate. She thinks that you can grab your bootstraps. And then you, if you pull on them hard enough, you're gonna levitate. You're not going to be on the ground anymore. You're going to be off the ground. You're going to be hovering, like on a hoverboard. You know, Back to the Future too. And I marvel that people like this become members of Congress and then remain in good standing with the phony baloney news media and, of course, the Democrat Party. But I repeat myself. You see, this is kind of catching on, too, the Democrat Party and the media. But I repeat myself. That's catching on in various ways as well. Kind of like were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. That's going on fairly nicely, I think. Yeah, so AOC, she cried on the House floor yesterday because they passed $1 billion over her objections. She was a no vote, and then she changed her vote to abstain or vote present. She voted present, like Barack Obama did when he was in the State House on that, life after birth thing. Not on the side of babies or anything like that. But the, AOC, she sobbed. She had to be consoled. Another Democrat congresswoman had to hug her and console her because she was dabbing tears because the Jews were given funding for a purely defensive system that cannot be used offensively in any way to harm anyone. All it can do is protect people, Israelis, from being killed. And that includes Jews and Christians and Muslims within Israel, because it's the only country in the region where the three religions are allowed to live in harmony as neighbors and in peace. Now, you know, a lot of the Palestinians are quite radical and make it difficult. But the Democrats, they're generally speaking on the side of the terrorist groups and not on the side of the peace-loving. You know, they love to talk about equity and diversity and stuff. And Israel is the only country in the region that brings all of that to the dance, all the stuff that the Democrats give lip service to, but they don't really believe. Yeah, so amazing stuff. Also, the Biden administration has done away with the use of horses along our border because they're insane, I think, is the short explanation for that. Because they saw a piece of video that they didn't understand, And so they're banning horses. And liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. Keep that in mind at all times. And I was looking up the origin of that. That's not an original of mine. I think that might have been Congressman Dick Armey, longtime Republican, been gone for a while now from Congress. But he wrote a book, and in the book, it's often attributed to him. Liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. And what they do not want to make mandatory, they want to ban. And what they do not want to ban, they want to make mandatory. And now they're banning horses along the border because they made up a lie about what happened several days ago along the border, where men on horseback, probably Hispanic American men, because you know how racist the Democrats are, riding horses. And of course, you're riding a horse, you have a saddle. Now, that's what you sit on for Democrats listening. And you got stirrups, you put your boots in there, don't wear flip-flops. And then you have reins, which are long leather straps that go to the bit. That's a metal peg in the horse's mouth. And you control the horse that way because it's a large, powerful, muscular animal. And it could trample innocent people if the people were to lunge in front of the horses. And so the Border Patrol agent waved away a person or two using his leather. Then they called them whips and things, but of course it's not. It's amazing what liars these people are. It is, I was comparing it yesterday accurately and correctly, to the phony, baloney, hands-up, don't-shoot thing that they turned into a national movement based on a lie, a fabrication, something that was completely made up by a corrupt, drug-addled teenager who is a friend of Michael Brown's, and the news media decided that was the better story to go with, even though it was completely false. And they went with that one for years. They still wear T-shirts that say, hands up, don't shoot, at protests and stuff. Speaking of which, they're doing away with horses because that'll make things better. These people are really, they've got severe brain damage collectively and individually. It's quite remarkable. Speaking of which, the Reverend Al Sharpton went down to the Reverend Al Sharpton went down to Del Rio, Texas, where the Biden administration has done like a, what's his name, David Blaine, the musician. Who's the guy? Who's the magician, that made the Statue of Liberty disappear? Who was that guy?
Was it David Copperfield?
Maybe it was David Copperfield. It might have been David Copperfield. The Biden administration is doing a David Copperfield amazing magic act. They've made thousands of Haitians disappear. It's just amazing. It reminds me of Brother from Another Planet, where on the subway train, watch as I make all the white people disappear. And they all get off on 86th Street or something in New York, and there's Express to 125th Street, which is Harlem, and there are no more white people in the thing. The Democrats have made thousands of Haitians disappear. And you remember they made thousands of children along the border disappear a few months ago, and the news media didn't even bat an eye. They're like, well, children disappear by the thousands all the time. What's to notice here? But you remember this. They had thousands of children in cages, and they were using fire hoses on them and dogs and barking at them. And break out the hoses. And they were speaking German to them and stuff. And then thousands of illegal alien children along the border vanished. And when asked very politely where they went, the administration didn't really give much of an answer, which is what they're doing now. Hey, there were 15,000 Haitians under the bridge, and then there were 3,000. What happened to the other 12,000 Haitians that were under the bridge? And the administration's response pretty much has been, search me. That's saying, search me. That's their official response. They're pretending they don't know what happened. They say, well, I can tell you that, you know, about 1,400 of them have been deported back to Haiti. Okay, well, that's 1,400. Where are the other 12,000? Okay, at that point, it would be, 10,600. What happened to the other 10,600? And Mayorkas, who's an embarrassment to Western civilization, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, he was asked by Wolf Blitzer on CNN yesterday, what happened to all the other Haitians? And he's like, he shrugs and says, I don't know. I don't have to answer that. I don't have to answer any questions. Don't you know I am? I'm a Democrat. I'm with the Democrat administration. And, you know, this is a Democrat cable channel, so I can just blow off the question and keep moving, and you guys will keep moving with me. And Jen Psaki, Colonel Klebb, you know, people, there's this little meme going around where she's Peppermint Patty, right? Because she looks like Peppermint Patty. And Colonel Klebb in From Russia with Love, the Soviet, kind of, you know, she was sexually aggressive, like a member of the Cuomo family, with that young lady that they were going to send after James Bond. Kind of racy stuff for early James Bond movies. But she looks like Colonel Klebb. And also, I think Dan Bongino calls her Peppermint Patty, right? So now this meme going around with Peppermint Patty, I think, is just lifting from Dan Bongino. But nevertheless, notwithstanding, it does look like her. And the Reverend Al Sharpton, he went down because he's a Democrat, and he's not real good with thinking either, or talking. Those are not two of his areas, that are not. And he went down to the border at Del Rio because he cares very deeply about black lives. Not the children being gunned down in Chicago. You see a couple of kids gunned down in Chicago last couple of days. And Al Sharpton's not going there because, you know, that's not really his thing.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one.
Exactly, exactly. But he went down to the border and he was heckled. It was kind of a fun moment because what goes around comes around. And he was heckled by normal people who were yelling at Al Sharpton that they don't want his racism, they don't need his racism, that he's a racist, which is all true, of course. And the Reverend Al Sharpton speech at Texas-Mexico border interrupted by protesters. That's right. They're not hecklers. They're protesters because everything's legitimate protest now. Burning police stations is legitimate protest now. The Democrats do it, you know, whenever the fancy strikes them. So we've just got, the border completely out of control, not just in Texas, but elsewhere. The Yuma sector, the chief patrol agent, Chris T. Klemm, put out a tweet yesterday saying the Yuma sector agents there encountered more than 1,000 migrants who illegally crossed the border into the U.S. from Mexico on Thursday. That's one day. In an area of the border, it's, you know, it's a long border. It's like it's a very long border. And this Yuma sector, more than 1,000 people in one day. And he said this is a new fiscal year record for daily apprehensions. And listen to this. The total of more than 1,000 people that they grabbed along the border doesn't count all the people that got away that they didn't get. How many is that? Probably greater number. He said the total includes migrants from 21 different countries, And, he writes, border security is national security. And the Democrats are against border security and they're against national security, unless it's for Afghanistan. Here's another story that went away. You know, we're pouring money into Afghanistan and resources so they can defend their border, so they can seal their border with Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and with Pakistan. So you remember this, and this just went away, too. We're giving Afghanistan, the Taliban, another terrorist group that the Democrats support. Iran, they support Iran. They support Hezbollah. They support Hamas. They don't support Israel. They don't support the United States. They support the drug cartels, the human trafficking cartels, the child sex trafficking cartels south of our border. Best friend that all these organizations have ever had. Amazing stuff. So we've got that coming up today, to name but a few things. And, you know, I've been talking about this for days, the, you know, the missing blonde girl syndrome. And then we had this awkward moment where I kind of agreed with Joy Reid on MSDNC that the media only covers, they say missing white girls. I narrowed it down farther. Blonde girls, they all have to be blonde, from Natalie Holloway to the latest episode. And Joy Reid was very upset because the media never talks about missing women of color. What about white men? Because they, you know, they get missing too, but never mind that. So a good piece in the Washington Examiner, I should have thought of it myself. Joy Reid knows she can talk about missing women of color on her TV show, right? Kind of a good point. Yeah, does she know that? I don't know. She's got a TV show. She could reach dozens of people a night and let those dozens of people know that there are missing women of color. And then maybe they'd tell two friends, and they could tell two friends, and that a large number of people would know. Either that or not. So Biden, the tax evader, Hunter Biden emails revealed. And the news media, what happened? Politico admitted the other day that all the emails were real and the laptop stories were real. And the rest of the news media just went to lunch. It's not like they should dig into the emails and what was learned, what they ignored so studiously, like the little goose steppers that they are. So we got that coming up. And boy, a whole lot more. Afghanistan, the weather. The weather's kooky, isn't it?
Did I hear you correctly say that perhaps he was influenced by Gergel?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So it turns out Chris Cuomo, you know, McGilla Gorilla at CNN, a.k.a. Fredo Cuomo, he has a brain the size of a chestnut. The rest of that is all skull. It's skull right to the middle, and then there's a little chestnut-sized brain in there about the size of a squirrel. And, you know, he's well-known as McGilla Gorilla. And now it turns out that he's being accused of sexually harassing a female producer. They got to put that in the headline, you know, in case you might think it's a male producer. At ABC News, he was with ABC News for a long time. And they, you know, they all cover up for Mark Halperin and at NBC and at ABC, groping all the women and rubbing himself against. Oh, you want a job covering the political campaigns? Well, you know, the path to success goes through me. If you know what I mean, creepy boy. And Matt Lauer, where in the world is Matt Lauer with his secret button under his desk like it's a Marx Brothers movie or something? And now CNN's Chris Cuomo accused of sexually harassing female producer while at ABC. He walked toward me and greeted me with a strong bear hug while lowering one hand to firmly grab and squeeze the cheek of my buttock, Shelley Ross wrote. Now, why would this be a problem? It's not, because they're Democrats, you know. A veteran television journalist accused CNN's Chris Cuomo on Friday, that's today, of once sexually harassing her while they worked together at ABC. And she feels that Cuomo primetime namesake needs to journalistically represent, journalistically repent for his behavior. Now, here's the great thing when you're a Democrat. The headline in the New York Times is, Chris Cuomo sexually harassed me. I hope he'll use his power to make change. I'm telling you. See, they spin it. The New York Times already spins it into a positive for him. The accusation just came out 5 seconds ago, and the New York Times already has him making change, see? Not just for it, but the greater good. And, you know, this whole pound me too thing. They got another giant hypocrisy story on them as well. But Chris Cuomo, groper just like his brother, who was driven from office for sexually groping all those women.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Our Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Chris Cuomo, he is a million-dollar anchor on CNN, and he's as dumb as a rock, and he gets a lot of stuff wrong, and he lies a lot. He's a Democrat Party shill. You know, his brother was the Democrat governor. His father was the Democrat governor. They were more commonly known as Papa Doc and Baby Doc Cuomo of the Cuomo Organized Crime Family.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
Not like everybody says.
Dumb. I'm smart, and yeah. I want respect.
That's right. And he had a mood ring. Do you remember when he, apparently, I think he had a mood ring. Is that what he was explaining? And he's talking about his various moods and colors. He sounds like a teenage girl who just got a new mood ring. Chris Cuomo.
Sometimes I feel like a clear stone. Sometimes I start to get a little jaded. Sometimes I'm very sad. And that's purple. The rainbow brings me back. And it makes me feel like I was a unicorn that could eat pineapples and then spit out diamonds.
There you go. He's perfectly well in his social and professional circle. He's perfectly well. So the piece in the New York Times written by a woman that Chris Cuomo groped, ABC newswoman, you got to believe her because she's with ABC News, and you can't just make stuff up when you're with ABC News and you're writing in the New York Times. Her name is Shelley Ross, a veteran television journalist, former executive producer at ABC and at CBS. See, so that gives her street cred. That means she's got serious chops here in the news business. And Michael Piercy's the executive producer of our show. And he's never groped me that I'm aware of. It's probably not likely that it could happen without my not being aware. And Shelley writes, I was Chris Cuomo's boss at ABC News nearly two decades ago. And he groped the boss. Always a good idea. In the news business, most of my bosses were women over the years as well. And said nearly two decades ago, I'm a regular viewer of CNN Today, she says, just to reaffirm her Democrat Party credentials. So I've long watched how he communicates on camera and witnessed at times how he behaved behind the scenes. When she says behind the scenes, I think she's talking about her own scenes. Isn't that true? This year, as he escaped accountability for advising former Governor Andrew Cuomo, his brother, you know, during his sexual harassment scandal, two moments crystallized for me how Mr. Cuomo performs. Performs, that's an interesting choice of term there, how he performs. The first was March 1st, two days before Governor Cuomo publicly addressed the sexual harassment allegations made against him by three women. It was nine women, if I remember correctly. It started out as three. And apologized for acting in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. But he denied touching anyone inappropriately. So he lied. He lied a lot. But he's a Democrat, so he got it smoothed over for him by the New York Times and ABC News and the rest. On Cuomo Primetime, Mr. Cuomo explained to his CNN viewers, few though they may be, I just added that part to the New York Times piece, that because of the sexual harassment scandal, he would no longer be covering or interviewing his brother. as he frequently did. Remember with the big Q-tip, and that was real funny. Ha ha, oh ho ho. And they all knew that he's a groper and a creep, and all these thousands died in the nursing homes because of his executive order and the Wuhan and all that stuff. So he explained to his very small number of viewers the sexual harassment scandal. He'd no longer be interviewing his brother because that made it okay. See, he covered his brother as long as it was beneficial to the party. But when it stopped being beneficial to his brother and the party, then they dropped it like a hot potato. And suddenly, they're just not talking about it anymore. See? And that good. It's convenient. That's how it works for the Democrats. When things get bad, the media just stops talking about it. Because why would they talk about that? That's not good news for the Democrats or for Gubernator Gropey McGropeface Cuomo. So the people at CNN said, well, we'll just stop talking about it, right? We'll talk about Trump instead. You know, those awful, terrible Republicans and stuff. So they decided they're not going to talk to him. With an expression of great sincerity, he said, she actually writes that with a straight face. I have always cared very deeply about these issues and profoundly so. I just wanted to tell you that. So this nice lady, she heard him say that and said, what? Aren't you the guy that was grabbing woo and beep and deep and you know, all that stuff? Now, he's an ego. He's a steroid head. He's got a brain the size of a cashew. It keeps shrinking. Now it was a walnut, then a chestnut. Now it's a cashew. Now it's the size of a cashew. More of the size of a varmint. He's got a varmint brain. So that's just amazing. And then she says the second moment came this Labor Day weekend after Governor Cuomo had resigned and his loyal confidants and outside advisors were losing their own influential jobs in the fallout. There was Mr. Cuomo in the Hamptons appearing in a photo wearing a T-shirt emblazoned with the word truth. You know, irony. They have no sense of irony. I point this out all the time. She says, for me, his statement of profound concern about sexual harassment and his truth T-shirt were provocations in the era of personal accountability. Of course, that personal accountability thing is a little slippery, too, isn't it? So she had to write this piece talking about how he groped her and all this stuff. I was at the party with my husband, who sat behind me on an ottoman, sipping his Diet Coke as I spoke with work friends. When Mr. Cuomo entered the Upper West Side bar, where else would it be than the Upper West Side of Manhattan, right? He walked toward me and greeted me with a strong bear hug while lowering one hand to firmly grab and squeeze the cheek of my buttock. He said, I can do this now that you're no longer my boss, he said to me with a kind of cocky arrogance. No, you can't, I said, pushing him off me at the chest while stepping back, revealing my husband, who shot him in the leg with a .45 caliber. Just kidding. He didn't really threw that in, too. Who had seen the entire episode at close range. We quickly left. We quickly left. It's, because he's the all-powerful Cuomo family, the great and powerful schnoz. And, that's great. Soon after, I received an email from Mr. Cuomo about being ashamed. He should have been. But my question today is the same as it was then. Was he ashamed of what he did, or was he embarrassed because my husband saw it? See? This is just the beginning. You know, this is once one person comes out, you see it again and again. Because if this is your MO, if this is your modus operandi, if this is your manner of behavior, if you think this is okay with this woman in this Upper West Side Manhattan bar at this moment, then you think it's okay all the time, right? That's how that works. And as we learned with brother, Baby Doc Cuomo, of the Cuomo organized crime family, once the dam breaks, people start coming forward. But of course, there's this fear because he'll mete out punishment. It's the left, and the left, of course, metes out punishment when women come forward. You may recall when women came forward and started telling the truth about Governor Cuomo, one of the primary reactions was that lefty women organizations, fake women organizations, attacked the women. See? They attacked the women. They smeared the women. They had these women who are supposed to be feminists, who are lawyers and stuff, but they're Democrat Party apparatchiks, really. and they smeared the women. In fact, there is a story today in Slate magazine, the left-wing rag called Slate. And the headline is, "How did Time's Up go so wrong?" The glitzy advocacy organization posited that strong women could fix the world. They couldn't even fix their own workplace, says Lily Loof Burrow, writing for Slate magazine. So she's a giant lefty. And she writes about how this, you know, this Time's Up organization, which lefties, women, fake feminists, that stood up to raise funds and to exercise power for the elites. They stood up this thing out of the Pound Me Too movement, which was all because the Democrats had been protecting Harvey Weinstein, and, you know, Rose McGowan came forward and the dominoes started falling. And then the truth that everybody had been aware of for decades came out. And then, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and the Clintons and the Democrats and Bill Gates and Lolita One and the private island and the little girls and all of that and Prince Andrew and got all that stuff. And and then the dominoes started falling all over the place. And Matt Lauer with the secret button under his desk to lock women in his office so he could chase them around like Harpo Marx with a horn on his belt honking. And he had all the sex toys in his closet in his NBC office at Rockefeller Center. And everybody knew it. Everybody had known it for years. Then Charlie Rose, then Mark Halperin, and the list kept growing and growing. And then they stood up these organizations, right? And they become, well, rich off of them because they're do-gooders, right? But here's the story by Lily Loof Burrow in Slate magazine, How Did Time's Up Go So Wrong? And they said they couldn't even run their own workplace. And it turns out that there was a hostile workplace for everyone there, right? She writes, "There had been no human resources department, no performance reviews, no clear paths to promotion. Morale was low, turnover was high, and confusion abounded. But there was a plan in place. After 2 years of operation, a consultant had been hired to nail down salary and title structure and to serve as kind of a human resources stand-in, despite not being officially on the staff. Then, in the middle of the presentation, the consultant accidentally put up a slide that revealed, among other things, senior executives' pay." Oh, that's got to be embarrassing, doesn't it? You're not supposed to do that. "Good consultant. What a moron. You're fired." No one present managed to get a screenshot before she took the slide down in a great hurry. Several staff requested that she make the slide public. Just to us, and she said, and she declined. One former staffer who witnessed the incident said, "That was so bizarre for me. An organization that applauds companies for releasing pay data but wouldn't disclose what their pay was." Well, it's standard. Well, you know, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. So this was Time's Up. You see, Time's Up, this left-wing, fake feminist Democrat organization. And the story goes on and talks about how people were dismissed and abused there and how the reality is that it was just in place to serve the elites. You see, this Time's Up thing. It was learned that their top lawyers and their top leaders were helping behind the curtain, were helping Andrew Cuomo to smear women. Now, I mean, again, this is Time's Up out of Pound Me Too, and they're supposed to be standing up for feminism and for women that have been abused by powerful men. But instead, they were advocates behind the curtain for powerful men and smearing the women that bravely came forward to stand up and speak truth to power, right? So they're all frauds. They're shamsters, and the news has increased scrutiny of how Time's Up operates as a workplace and how effective it has been as an advocacy nonprofit. In the days after, is Tina Chen, you see, was one of the big women. She was the CEO. And it turns out that the New York Times found out that the Time's Up staff was told to stand down when they were contemplating a statement in support of one of the women groped by Governor Cuomo. So they were stepping on any efforts to stand up for the women that came forward, the brave women that were willing to risk it all by telling the truth about powerful Democrat men. But Tina Chen and these frauds at Time's Up, you see, they were actually backing the powerful men and not the women. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, they're just giant frauds. So she was forced to step down, and the embrace of the powerful is embedded in the DNA of the Time's Up organization, Slate writes. Tina Chen stepping down doesn't actually mean anything, because you've still got a board full of elite, top-of-their-industry women who are power players. And they go on to explain that really what this whole organization is about is representing the hierarchy of the Democrat Party and their interests, not the women who bravely came forward. And all these frauds, and they and then what are they? They're paying themselves enormous amounts of money, and they won't reveal the enormous amounts of money that they're being paid. The employees there feel abused. They've got they talk about their friends on Morning Joe, and you know how it's this great big corrupt circle fest of Democrats who are looking out for each other and themselves. And this Time's Up organization is just another Democrat Party front group that represents the elite in the party and the men, and not the women that they claim they represent, that they claim they speak for, because they're frauds. They're frauds. I think that's the, there it is.
I don't like what I do professionally, I've decided.
Well, neither does anybody else. Let's go real quick to the phones. Let's go to Ron, calling from Manassas, Virginia. Ron, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good to hear you.
Hey, Ron. Welcome.
All right. I just wanted to say that I'm not that old that I don't remember. I mean, I do remember when actions such as Chris's would be rebuffed immediately by the victim with a loud scream in a public situation like that of, get your filthy hands off me, and followed up by a slap across the face.
Right, yeah.
As she marches out.
Yeah, that works very well. I think you're absolutely right about that. I also remember a time, Ron, when the company that he works for would come out and have something to say about it. But CNN is going to sit on their hands, because this whole feminist movement has been alive from the beginning. They're not feminists. They're power hungry. That's all that matters, is the power. Now, if you're a woman and you're going to help them, the party be more powerful, then they're with you. If you might be revealing something that could be damaging to a Democrat, then they're going to roll right over you, just like they did with all the women that Bill Clinton sexually assaulted, from Paula Jones to Juanita Broderick to Kathleen Kennedy. It goes on and on and on. And they never change. They're corrupt. They're power hungry. They're hypocrites. They live by the double standard. They're the Democrat Party and the media. But I repeat myself.
I am Jewish. I am black. I am gay. I am disabled. I am a Muslim. I am a woman seeking to control her health and her choices.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
That you are an attractive person now because you're single and ready to mingle? Do you really think you are some desirable single person?
I gotta tell you, you know, it's not like this guy's character was ever in question. You tell from satellite photos that he's a slime ball.
Please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Ah, yes. Well, in the First Amendment, says the lawyer, son of a governor, brother of a governor.
I'm sending you a poem.
You're not showing me respect. I'm going to recite a poem. I'm talking about reality.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Poetry is reality.
Poetry is reality. Yeah. He's deep. He's a thoughtful, kind of leaves of grass kind of guy. Yeah. Kamala Harris is going to New York today to be on The View, to be fluffed by Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. Boy, that'll be hard-hitting. It's like living in North Korea. Your government officials go to these North Korean outlets, and, you know, Mika has a mind meld with people in North Korea. Just amazing stuff. So she's going to be on The View today, which is going to be another hard-hitting moment for her. I'm telling you. Here's The New Yorker. The New Yorker used to be a legitimate magazine, I think. But they've got one today. Their headline is, "Was the American Revolution such a good idea?" That's their headline. Was the American Revolution such a good idea? You'll not be surprised to learn they think, no, it really wasn't a good idea. We could have been a communist totalitarian hobnail boot death camp, and they'd prefer that. And they say we could have been Canada. Canada?